Okay, go ahead. Bye. Mike, can you hear me? Test it for me?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. What's up, man? It's good to
What's
see you.
What's going on? You too, brother.
I hope you're doing good, man.
Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the Voice of the People. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
Hey, Daddy, this is Dollar Beat.
BoxingVoice.com.
No matter what nobody says, man, can't nobody fuck with me, man. You know, I can't be fucked with, you know.
Dollar DVLC Production.
Whether you pay to see me win, yeah, or you pay to see me lose, yeah, you're going to pay. Look, your kids still got to eat. I don't have to watch, you know, any footage of a fighter. I mean, because I'm Floyd Mayweather, everybody got to watch me. I knew eventually I was going to have to fight Oscar.
I speak it. Believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. I can't say it enough. I speak it, believe it.
BoxingWiz.com.
We don't fight for rings and stuff like that. I don't fear anyone.
En este deporte no se viene a jugar y no le tengo miedo a nadie.
You don't come to play in this sport. I fear no one in this sport.
That
means that you will fight Triple G later this year.
Como lo dije en la pelea pasada, ahorita mismo me vuelvo a poner los guantes.
As I said in the last fight, right now I'll put on the gloves again.
¡Viva México!
Canelo wants to unify all the time.
When did you realize, Andy, that you could take his power?
Because of the Mexican warrior that I am, I got that Mexican blood in me. So, talking about the Mexican style, I can prove this.
BoxingVoice.com.
Ain't no one so tight in the game to see the boxing board.
Good morning, TBB. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another morning edition. It's Monday morning. We're talking boxing. Mikey Garcia defeating Jesse Vargas Saturday night and now looks to be in the running for a Saudi Arabia mega payday with Manny Pacquiao. So we'll talk all the details. How the hell is Pacquiao getting out of that PBC contract without having a last fight? How is it that Mikey and Pacquiao will be fighting in Saudi Arabia under the DAZN banner? Lots to talk about. You know the number to call in, 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 one time. Voice your opinion right here on the Voice of the People hotline. Let me head on out to my co-host.
I speak it, believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. I can't say it enough. I speak it, believe it.
With attempt, two attempts, handed bands over. Sicko hit, shot and miss, two to stand over.
Turn up!
Red winner, huh? Look who in the building.
Hold on.
Let me check my Instagram. I might be at a million.
And I'm in.
BoxingWiz.com.
Yo. What up? And shout out to everybody out there in PBB Universe. Back with another one, man. Yeah, man. Mikey Garcia had a little adversity over the weekend. Some people thought that JC Vargas could have won that fight, but I had it like 6-6, you know what I'm saying? And I thought the knockdown led it towards Mikey's weight. But a lot of people out there saying Jesse got robbed, but nevertheless, Manny Pacquiao and Mikey Garcia, I told y'all, I don't know how, I told y'all, Manny Pacquiao, it don't seem like he's going to be fighting on PBC. That was just my observation, but I'm not 1,000% sure. But from the way they're talking, from the way Eddie Hearn's talking about Saudi Arabia, does Manny Pacquiao have a third fight with PBC? I guess we'll break that down and get into it. Somebody else, though, we got another special return. What's going on, man?
Mario. My bad, unmuting myself. You know, I kind of thought, how cool would it be if I just came in and started talking boxing like nothing, right? But that would obviously be foolish. What is up, TBV? Back. Glad to be back. I'm just going to cut like a real quick monologue. It was incredible seeing everybody this weekend. I'm so glad I did it. Such a long time coming. So blessed to have Ness as a friend. lifelong friend, great. But look, I'm just going to get to the fight. Incredible. You know, Nesset's, a few people had said that they weren't super excited.
My bad, unmuting myself.
Pardon me.
No problem. But, you know, and I got what they meant in the sense that it didn't seem like either fighter would propel either fighter in a win. I mean, what was Mikey Garcia going to win, a fight with Josecito Lopez? But the type of fight that they produced was reminiscent of the old featherweight days, which is my golden era. You know, everybody has their like, oh, back in the day type of fights. And that was my golden era of boxing. And that was just so reminiscent of that era. And so the Pacquiao fights are sparked because of fights like Marquez Pacquiao and Barrera Pacquiao. And so I understand it. It's just not a mega fight to me. I don't think it's a mega fight. To be honest with you, it's not the fight that I hope for Pacquiao. It's probably his best bet. But at the end of the day, I will say that Mikey Garcia showed a lot of grit, and, you know, we'll chop it up.
Mari, I'm surprised you didn't leave with Pacquiao ducking Khan.
You know, that's that. Look, man, Khan's going to go down as the second boogeyman behind Winky Wright. You know, they all ducked him, so, you know, ain't nothing new.
For sure, man. Happy to be back. Just want to echo your sentiments. It's true. We met so many people, a lot of first-time, you know, friends that we met that have been lifelong TBV listeners. Shout-out to Rel in New Mexico by Detroit. Big shout-out to Chris Weber in Oklahoma, Morocco Joe in Virginia, Jay Cruz, Marvin, the Tank, Freeman, Mitty. I mean, oh, my God, so many. The list goes on and on. For sure, Fire D's grandmother turning up at the event. I mean, there's just so many people to give thanks to. Had a fantastic Border Wars weekend. Has to be the best Border Wars ever. Highlight video coming out was already released to our Patreons. They're in love with it. We'll see what you guys think once we release it to the public. But, yeah, man, Border Wars 7 is down and in the books, and it's definitely been one of the best. Got to meet so many beautiful people and hang out the entire weekend, have a little fight party, watch some boxing, box a little bit with them. So great moment, fantastic camaraderie. Just love all the friends that I've been able to make through TBV. We all have a very unique connection, and boxing is what bridges us. Shout out to J-Mac in New Orleans came through, man. See, real people, man. Real people do real things, man. We met up with so many people, it's ridiculous, and the event was fantastic. And just want to again continue to thank everyone, you know, the supports the movement, man. We're all like boxing fans, and that's what drives us to TBV, to be able to speak what's on our mind, call in, express those frustrations, celebrate when we need to celebrate, and I guess that's what we do around here at the Voice of the People, man. So my introduction to this is, I don't know if I want it, man. It's just a money fight for both, you know, with Mikey looking so bad versus Vargas. Like, why should we want him to fight Pacquiao? Like, why? Like, what did he do in the Vargas fight that tells us, yeah, he's going to beat Pacquiao? Or is it just another fucking payday that we don't care about, really? Because if we allow this fight to happen, you know, is it going to be competitive? Is Mikey going to be able to win? He barely touched Vargas until the second half of the fight. So it's like, can he – look at what Vargas did. Look at what Manny Pacquiao did to Vargas. You know what I mean? Take those two performances and compare them. Now, obviously for Mikey, he came on late. He got a knockdown. You know, one of those were a slip, but I don't know. I just don't know about this fight being in Saudi Arabia. I don't care. Let them get paid. But I don't know. I think Mikey needs another welterweight fight before he could go in there challenging Manny Pacquiao, you know, just to make it, because the sheer economics is just a slap in the boxing fans' face. You know, losing to Errol Spence in the manner that you did, then losing about 6-7 rounds to Vargas, then turning it around, I don't see how that gets you a Pacquiao fight. But, hey, you know, business is business.
look, I'll tell you this straight up, okay? You're absolutely right. It's a money fight because if you look at the numbers, you know, 47,000 plus were in attendance for his fight with Earl Spence. That's Garcia, okay? And on Saturday night, the announced attendance was 11,019. You know, these are incredible numbers for Mikey Garcia. And if you think about where he was a few years ago, I think he made the right call leaving Top Rank. I didn't think it at the time. At the end of the day, if all roads come back to Pacquiao, it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, that's a little weird. You know, you took road A instead of road B and you got to the same place. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because it's on his terms. And let's see what he did here, Ness, because to me, this is the most impressive thing. I think that what you have to fully understand is that when you look at the dynamic of DAZN and where Mikey fits in there, I think ultimately this is his network. This is, I mean, I don't mean his network, but in a fight with Pacquiao, you know, it's reverse. It's roles reverse. Pacquiao used to be the guy that had the HBO deals and the Showtime deals and all these things, right? You know, then he signs with PBC. But it just feels like this is Mikey's fight in a sense. And it might be because it's coming fresh off of, you know, what happened. And it was such an exciting fight. Don't get me wrong. Pacquiao is the A side. This is Pacquiao's fight to lose. But the interesting part to me from the inside of the ring point of view is we saw what Mikey did, how successful he was at the lower weights. Jesse Vargas presented a problem because Jesse Vargas was a welterweight and he showed up as a welterweight and he's a talented welterweight. Pacquiao's not a welterweight. He hits like one, you know, will that be the ultimate, you know, aspect of the fight that, you know, ultimately undoes Mikey? I don't think so, but it is a money fight. You know, if these guys want to go for it and get it in, I'm okay with it, but I just much rather see Bud. I'd much rather see, I mean, I don't know about Earl right now, but I'd rather see like two or three fights instead of this one. But it would just do such big numbers. I'm sure it would be a significant fight. And it would probably, in most likely terms, catapult Mikey Garcia to that upper echelon. You know, I'm not saying right after Pacquiao, but look, every Mexican fighter needs that fight. You know, and Jesse Vargas was not that fight for Mikey. Neither was Earl. They both helped. But a Pacquiao fight, that propels him into a stratosphere that is, you know, very few Mexican fighters can reach. And you can see Mikey's preparing for it. Go back and look at his walkout. This guy is all smiles. This guy is all happy. And this is – he looked like De La Hoya. He looked like Chavez coming out. He, you know, these big Mexican smiles and the dimples and everything. I mean, the kid looks like a star. But he's got to perform like one, and the outing was a little rocky.
I was looking at it from a different perspective. I know you guys don't think Mikey can beat Pacquiao, but I'm of the mindset Mikey can beat Pacquiao. Look at the Errol Spence fight. He's giving up natural size to Errol. The same thing in the Vargas fight. Those guys are longer. Those guys got more reach in them. Those guys are taller, and they're probably going to outweigh him by 10 to 15 pounds. I can't say that about Pacquiao. Pacquiao's not taller. He's probably not going to come in and be much heavier than Mikey. We've seen Pacquiao come in under the welterweight limit all the time. So I'm not that down on this fight. I'm actually kind of high on this fight. I've always thought that Mikey Garcia could give Pacquiao a run for his money. And I know it's a money fight. I know it goes on. It's probably gonna go on in Saudi Arabia, but I'm kind of intrigued with this fight. I know people are gonna say, but Mike, man, Pacquiao totally dominated Jesse Vargas. Yeah, but I don't remember if Pacquiao was able to make Jesse touch the canvas like Mikey did. And we gotta admit, when Mikey let that right hand go on Jesse, man, it was like whoa. You know what I'm saying? Like he showed some pop in that right hand. And I'm just of the mindset, man, Pacquiao is not the biggest welterweight out there, so I don't see it as a big mismatch as I've seen the Errol Spence fight or a Terrence Crawford fight.
So you look at this a little bit more competitive.
Absolutely.
He is a small welterweight, man, but, I mean, you don't feel like you don't got a sour taste in your mouth because he just looked kind of shitty versus Vargas. So it's like, how are you going to beat the guy that at 40 – is still beating top welterweights. You know what I mean? You're not even a welterweight. You're struggling with guys that weren't naturally welterweights. Jesse started at 135 when he was training with Roger Mayweather. So it's like, if you're having trouble with Jesse, how are you not going to have trouble with our superstar? That's one of our icons. It's Mayweather, then Pacquiao. So it's like, come on, man. Like, how are you selling this to the people?
Pacquiao's no spring chicken. Pacquiao's not
in his prime anymore. Pacquiao's getting older, maybe, and that's what Mikey Garcia sees. Like, hey, man, this guy, even though he's coming off a big win against Keith Thurman, he ain't fought in how long? When he fought again?
He fought when he beat Thurman.
And what, about a year ago?
But Mike,
a year ago, so
you say he's not no spring chicken, but, like, he looked very springy and like a young chicken in that Thurman fight.
I mean, maybe it's more of a detriment on Thurman than it is Pacquiao, but I digress. What I'm saying is this, man. Pacquiao ain't been fighting that active. And maybe Mikey had a fight in the interim, and maybe Mikey can catch him cold. You know what I'm saying? Pacquiao's old, bro. I'm like, and I really think Mikey can beat Pacquiao. Like, maybe I'm crazy, but I always thought Mikey has a better chance of beating Pacquiao than he has of beating any other welterweight because they're younger. They're more hungrier and they're bigger and stronger. Like Pacquiao is just not a big guy.
But how hasn't anything slightly changed for you based off that Jesse? Like, he looked bad that first half, bro. He looked like he didn't belong. Like, oh my God, is it really gonna happen again? Is another welterweight about to show him he don't belong? And like, and he was lucky to turn it around. I just don't understand how it's still the same fight. Like, I remember, let's say 8 months ago when they talked about this, you know, it seemed okay. Not even 8 months ago, before he lost to Earl. After watching him lose to Earl, and now this co-performance that he's got, it gives me the same feeling. Too small. Mikey's too small for welterweight is what I see from these two welterweight performances.
Well, that's why you don't think it's a mega fight, and that's why I don't think it's a mega fight. But, man, I think Mike is absolutely right. I don't think there's a problem selling this fight. Look, are you going to have a problem convincing hardcores that Mikey Garcia is going to walk in there and steamroll him and piece him up? Yeah, you're going to have a real hard time with that. But at the end of the day, you got to look at the dynamics of the fight. And Mikey Garcia, you know, he's not a welterweight yet, not a full-fledged welterweight, not yet. Okay, he was in there in the ring with a real welterweight, and that means something in this sport. Weight means something in this sport. You want to ask the competitors at Border Wars, because they'll tell you that weight. But look, go ask Elias if he thinks weight makes a difference, because I'll tell you, he'll tell you the truth, and he'll tell you it does. And so when you look at the Jesse Vargas fight and you look at some of the things that went on in that fight, it wasn't all because of size advantage, but a lot of it was. Jesse Vargas was able to use skills that, you know, aren't at the upper echelon level and really make them count, because he was domineering over this man. And that leaves a cloud over you when you can go in there and you know this guy can overpower me. And I'm not going to use an example. I'd love to use an example from Border Wars, but I don't want to embarrass anybody or anything. But there's this moment when you realize, oh shit, that guy's bigger, that guy's stronger. You know, it's not like sparring. You got to get used to that weight. I think he's got a real good welterweight fight under his belt. I think he needs another one, honestly, before he'd fight Pacquiao. I think July is way too soon. But I mean, if you're going to do it in Saudi, that's where you got to do it.
So the other aspect of this, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, shit, let's just be real, though. Like, what the hell did they bring Mikey over to the zone for?
I mean, they got a lot of options with Mikey, let's be real. If they could keep him. No.
Mike's right. Mike's absolutely right.
I get he's the bait. I get that Mikey is the Pacquiao bait, but they brought him under there with a backup plan. Listen, if you can't lure Pacquiao to the zone for a huge Saudi Arabia payday, we still have a Devin Haney super fight, a Regis Prograis super fight, a Maurice Hooker fight, a maybe cross promotion with Jose Ramirez. Well, actually, that's a stablemate, so that's off the table. Maybe cross promotion with Top Rank for the Josh Teller fight. You know, that's not cross promotion. That's not same stable. There's a lot for Mikey. There's a lot. All they got to do is keep paying them, and it's going to keep making sense.
You said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, dude. These headphones, they're so old. You said a Devin Haney. Super fight. Fight, you said?
I did use the word super fight. I like Haney.
But
I'm
you didn't
high.
Mean it. But you didn't mean it, though, right?
No, I mean, look, I get you. You control me.
I got you.
No, you control me. Devin's probably not as popular as Javonta Davis right now, but I think that if he gets in a Devin Haney versus Mikey Garcia fight, it'll be his moment like it was Earl's moment. And I guarantee you, I can't say the word guarantee, but I can say,
what they going to pay Mikey, man? You got Mikey. Mikey not about to no fucking Devin Haney fight. That's a big-ass risk. Love reward, bro. Come on, man.
Hey,
on, bro. Like,
hey, if the money's right, he gonna fight.
Bro, they're gonna pay him like $10,000, and they're gonna treat him to Outback where we ate on Saturday. That's what they're gonna give him, because that Devin Haney fighting worth nothing. Like, he's good. I mean, that's crazy. Like, how would you even feel if you're Mikey Garcia, and everybody's talking Pacquiao and Saudi Arabia, and then you end up with Devin Haney? Like, there's just no way. And I get what you're saying too. Like, I was trolling you. I knew what you were saying. You know, that fight needs to get built and, you know, stuff like that. And Devin Haney can be a superstar. I truly believe it. But at this point, Mikey set himself on a mission years ago. And when he took that time off, he knew that when he came back, he had to make it count. He had to make it count. And up till now, he has not really made it count. Did he get in there with Errol Spence? Sure he did. And I think he came off worse than he, you know, before. And so you look
at this fight,
he got the win.
Just to cut you off really quick, he made it count financially. Like, I mean, if he doesn't fight again, he's good.
Sure, that's a fair point. I just don't think that equates to where he's at this point and where DAZN sees him, because there's clearly business there, and there's clearly business to continue there. You know, that's set up. Look, DAZN has a model. They're not investing in Mikey Garcia without that payback. At some point, they're going to put Canelo in a room, and they're going to say, you're going to fucking fight Triple G. I don't give a shit. You're going to fight him. We paid you this money. Go fight him. With Mikey Garcia, it's in the opposite sense where, you know, he's got to lure that big shark there. I think at this point, he's got to strike where the iron's hot. This is probably the best fight for both guys. But in terms of finances, like you said earlier, Ness, but I don't think it matches up well for Mikey.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room?
What's that?
Shit, Pacquiao on the contract, man. That's what I thought.
He got that one fight left, but, you know, maybe there's something we don't know, you know. Maybe he can buy himself out of that one fight. Maybe he has the option not to accept it if it's not appealing enough. Something, there's definitely something in the air, because this Mikey Pacquiao Eddie Hearn triangle of sin has been, you know, something that we've been speaking about here and there on the show since last year. So there must be something there. What it is, I don't know. And you know, I'm happy to wait till it unfolds just to report on it. I'm pretty sure it'll be some juicy stuff. But you know, since you're bringing up the elephant, I don't know that Al lets him go. You just had a successful pay-per-view on PBC with Thurman. You did what, 400,000 or 500,000 pay-per-view buys. Now Wilder and Fury turn around and have a successful pay-per-view. People are talking, oh, pay-per-view is not dead anymore. Now they're saying it's not dead. Do you really let go of a legend, or do you show the legend, look what we were able to do with Wilder Fury? We learned some things. We can really maximize now. Now people know pay-per-views on Fox. We did a few, and we had a very big one. So now there's more awareness to the channel. Maybe they can convince him to stick around. Who can they offer him? I didn't think that far, but that's why I got two co-hosts.
Yo, Ness, you my advisor, right? You Al Haney, right? I'm Pacquiao, all right?
What's up, Mr. Pacquiao?
Al, man, I got this shit over in Saudi Arabia, man. They talking about site fee of $100-$150 million. You talking about pay-per-view for $400,000? I don't know about that, Al. I want that money over in Saudi Arabia. What you going to buy me to do? Take a pay-per-view with Mikey Garcia or Errol Spence, or go get that with Danny Garcia?
Well, I mean, I think as your advisor, Mr. Pacquiao, you know, regardless of what broadcaster you're fighting on, I'll still be your advisor. I'm pretty sure after getting to this level and getting the best advisor or the most synonymous advisor with boxing in the game, I'm pretty sure you're not just going to leave me because you got a Saudi Arabia deal. You're going to want me to read over those terms and conditions, because I have that boxing mind. I've been able to turn, you know, mere mortals into superstars, let alone rich men.
Let me tell you, man, it's not like the U.S. I ain't got to pay the IRS nothing. When I get paid over in Saudi Arabia, all that money come back with me. I ain't got to give the IRS nothing. So how are you going to advise me to fight in the U.S.?
Hey guys, I'm sorry to interrupt y'all's meeting. It's Sam here. I just wanted to come and help out Al real quick and remind you, Manny, you're asking these questions. You're asking a lot of questions, and I just have one answer for you. Floyd. You want Floyd, I'm going to keep you're going to have to stay on this side. You know, it might not happen right away, but you know that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen here. You ain't going to have that fight on the zone.
Nah.
And so that's the one thing that could get him to stay. I unfortunately think it's enough, but I hope it would.
But let me step in here, Sam C, because, you know, with Heyman Boxing, we don't want you to stay. You know, it's not a thing of staying. Go. I'm your advisor. Go make that $7 million that Mikey made. You go make your equivalent, Manny. Don't worry. As long as you're advised by Al, you can still get that Mayweather fight. You just have to not be under contract with DAZN. Remember, I am an advisor. The same way I let Daniel Jacobs go to DAZN and Jesse Vargas go to DAZN and Thomas Delorme fight on DAZN and, Mikey Garcia fight on I still advise those men on what it is they should do properly. So what you should do is, go pick up the bag. Go put on a performance in front of Prince, Khalid, so that he could be salivating over the mere thought of you and Floyd. Because with your performance with Mikey in Saudi Arabia, they will open the wallets to entice the one that you do want, my friend Floyd Mayweather. Because only money brings back Floyd. So if Saudi's willing to give Manny some money, he puts on a good performance, I believe, as Nestor Gibbs, that they will open their wallets. Same way they seen AJ put on a great performance with Ruiz, and they're ready to open their wallets for the next fight now. We heard things of like 520 million site fee for whatever Fury wants to do. So, you know.
Al, you know, I can't remember the last time you let somebody go out of contract and then brought them back to give them one of the biggest paydays of their lives. I just don't remember you doing that at all.
I mean, Amir Khan, he goes and comes as he pleases. We still advise him.
Okay.
Daniel Jacobs, I let go to HBO to get the unprecedented 6-fight deal right before they closed the doors. And then on top of that, I didn't say, hey, they closed the doors, come back. We waited to see what was out there. And guess what? Daniel got 12 to 15 million for Canelo. That sounds like a big payday to me.
That was clearly the opposite, though. That was allowing him to go make the most money. And this situation is letting Pacquiao go to make, a lot of money for him and then come back and make way more money for us. So I can see your point there.
Pacquiao, I still get 10%. I still get 10% of your Saudi Arabia money. And
sure.
as a man that isn't greedy, I don't care. I got 10% of Jacobs. I got 10% of Vargas. I get 10% of Mikey. I get 10% of you and Earl and Danny and Sean. The list goes on and on. I'm not greedy.
Yeah.
I'm not greedy. You know, they may call me greedy, but I'm not greedy.
And, you know, Manny, here's the thing that people don't know. He also owns Drake and Beyonce and probably Joe Biden and Trump. And that man gets around. Al's well-connected.
We'll see. Listen, man, Saudi Arabia has always been an interesting topic point. The fact that it's become reality has made boxing a little bit more exciting from a financial standpoint. But are Mexicans going to be happy that Mikey finally gets his super fight and they got to go to the desert in another country?
If you can watch it on TV, I'm sure they'll be happy with that. I mean, I know some would travel, but I mean, that price tag and that shit probably going to be a little bit expensive.
Wait, you're talking about his fans traveling, or are you talking about American fans watching?
I'm talking the traveling. You know what I mean? Mikey Hardcore's, they're gonna want to be there. Look, you said it was like 10,000, even though we had a few Border Wars participants and a mastermind that said that a lot of those seats were curtained off, and they do not believe it was 11,000 in the building. But look, they sell tickets. They bring people. Andy brought people to Saudi Arabia, so why wouldn't Mikey?
I think he could. I also think a heavyweight fight is a much different situation. But at the same time, a Pacquiao fight's a much different situation. I don't know. To me, that Saudi Arabia fight, because I've been seeing it more in wrestling and everywhere. And it's just such a weird situation politically, economically. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's so weird. It's just like, here's a bag of money. Just forget whatever else is going to happen. And I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I mean, from like listening to like the Prince Khalid, I believe his name is, all they want to do, man, is to bring sporting events over there and show the world that it ain't what everybody think it is. And I mean, look, I can give a guy a chance, you know what I'm saying, and try to look past all the issues that, you know what I'm saying, that went on. As long as those issues are being like attended to, you know what I'm saying, and like Aunt Joshua said, like women were over there driving now, so it's not like how it was before. So I mean, I'm just of the mindset that give these guys a chance and let's just see event after event after event how people like it and how people respond to it.
So quickly before we open up the phone lines, remember the number to call in 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time to voice your opinion right here on the Voice of the People hotline, and you can add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. We're going to see if you guys can be adults today and open up these long distance phone lines for our international callers. But quickly, I guess I was going to say scale 1 to 10. Well, we never asked the main question. Do you want it?
No. I thought I was clear. I was like, yeah, give it to me. Thank you, Manny, Mikey Garcia. I'll take it.
And Mario was a no. I'm on the fence. Like I said, I don't know that it's going to be competitive. I'm going to lean with Mario on the no. Let Mikey get another welterweight fight, continue to prove and make things, more appealing to the boxing fan.
Why do y'all think Mikey is going to fight somebody else at welterweight? Like, I mean, we've seen it already. Like,
honestly, Mike, I would even take a Delorme. Like, I would accept him saying we still want to work on things before we get in there with Pacquiao.
I would love that.
I just want him to. He's got to work on some things. Like,
y'all
yo,
just seen
listen,
a man get touched up by Jesse Vargas, and y'all won't go
and,
get the.
And
the,
that's why he needs to work on some.
Jesse Vargas.
That's why he needs to work on some things. That's why he needs to work on some things. How you getting touched up by Jesse, then you're expecting to, for us to believe you're going to be Pacquiao? Come on, man. I want you to work on some things. I'm not being mean. Work on some things.
Yo, I'll just put
Nobody
it like.
Nobody believed Andy was going to beat Joshua. Just because you don't believe don't mean it's not going to happen.
Absolutely. You're 100%
very true.
Right. You're 100% right. But I think that the becoming acclimated to that weight is really important before he steps up to a Pacquiao. How many fighters take that in-between fight when they move up and then take on a major opponent? Very few. And we've seen it over the past few years. More and more guys just jumping into that big fight and from upper weight classes. I mean, look at what did Josecito Lopez jump, like 17 weight classes to fight Canelo? So, you know, it's not unheard of for guys to just try to. I mean, look, he went in with Errol Spence right away, so he'll do it. I'm sure he will. I highly doubt he'll take an interim fight. I just think it would be such a mature thing for him to do, and I think that would give him the best shot of actually winning and being competitive. Now, that's not to say that he couldn't be, competitive against the lights of any other of the top, 10 welterweights. So I don't know. It's just a really difficult situation for me to get behind because I don't think that it's a fight that didn't seem like we really needed before Saturday. And I think Saturday showed that we still don't really need it.
Yeah, man. All right, so let's open up these phone lines. 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time. Voice your opinion right here. The Voice of People hotline. Don't forget, add Nestor Gibbs on Skype to be part of the conversation from anywhere in the world. Saudi Arabia, UK, Mexico, anywhere.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at ElCaminoElectricalServices.com.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Subscribe to youtube.com/theboxingvoice for the latest and greatest interviews with your favorite fighters.
All right. Let's head on out to Sunshine State.
El Gran Campeón Puerto Riqueño, Ricky Reyes, Chico
You got an excuse tonight, Roy?
Let's not ask questions like that. Let's test it up and go to work.
Tonight, Roy.
Let's go to work.
Yo, what's good? What's good? I'm audio sound, man. Can y'all hear me?
You good. What up, King? Good morning.
All right. What up? What up? Good morning, Ness, Mike, Mario, every panel, man. Listen, I think Mikey needs to get out of 147, bro. He had a real tough fight with Jesse Vargas. With the knockdown, I gave him seven rounds to five, basically meaning it was really a 6-6 fight to me, but the knockdown gave him that extra point he needed to barely get the win against Jesse. I mean, he didn't. To me, I gave Jesse all first four rounds. Mikey didn't pick it up until the fifth. The power carried over. You know, we've seen some pop, which is good, but his arms are too short. He needs to move down. I don't think 147 is good for him at all, because he let Jesse piece him up out there for the most part. And yeah, man, what's up? When you gonna release these Border Wars fights, man? I've been itching all weekend, bro. All you gave us was a little trailer, man.
Yeah, man. Just waiting on the edit, bro. Waiting on the edit.
Damn, all right, man. Yeah, I talked to J-Mac and Israel a little bit. You know, they didn't give no spoilers or nothing, but they really just talked about how great the event was, how much fun they had, how nice everybody was, how, you know, just how great of a time that they had and how great of an event it was, man. So that's dope. You know, congrats to y'all on putting on another event, man. I'm excited to see it. So yeah, man, appreciate the show. And again, man, we waiting for these fights, man. Release the fights, man.
I
don't even want to add any more anticipation, but it really was. I mean, I've covered a lot of fights and I've been to a lot of fights as a fan. That was one of the best. That was one of the most excited times I've ever been from beginning to end inside a boxing gym or next to a boxing ring, whatever you want to say. The fights were just incredible, bro. I cannot wait to watch them again. I mean, we almost watched it over Garcia. We were in a situation where we were like, well, which one should we watch? Because some of those fights were just epic.
Yeah, man. It was a really good event, you know, especially, you know, meeting everybody. It was dope. Israel Webb is a big motherfucker from Oklahoma, let me tell you. He's tall and definitely a fast heavyweight because of his, you know, athletic build. J-Mac big as hell, Mike, like in a muscular way. That shit was like, oh shit, I could tell right from the door his face. Like, I seen his, you know, I'm great with faces. I'm like, that's J-Mac. I just wasn't expecting motherfucker to be that built. Like, he lifts a lot of weight. Rel was tall as hell too, but obviously I know the face, so it was like easy to spot him. It was crazy, man. It was a good event, man. Met so many new people, new callers, man, and basically new family members, man, to the TBV fam. It was a great event, man. It's a great event. I keep telling y'all, man, if you haven't done one, you need to do one. Everyone was safe, you know. All the fights ended and began well, and everyone walked away safe and sound, so that's always a plus. And man, look, it ended up being more people than we expected to be there. You know, we don't usually let people in, but we did open the door slightly, and I'm sure that added pressure to the fighters, because it was quite a few people in there. So, you know, those lights, the cameras, the the outs, I'm telling you, man, DeMarcus's mom, for sure, Fire D's grandmom was hilarious, bro. She was.
Oh, yeah, she was hilarious. But you know what it was, too, Ness? Real quick, look, I had seen plenty of footage of Border Wars, plenty, okay? But just being there, and it's like everybody's in it together. Like, I've never seen that before. I mean, I forgot whose fight music it was, but they played Biggie. And it was Coach Mitty. That's right. I think Elias was bopping his head to it.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was rapping him out. Like, everybody. You know, it was nuts, man.
Nah,
so,
he killed it with that, bro.
He did.
I said it when I was commenting. I said, bro, he just stole the American fans with that. Walking out to Biggie as a UK dude, he stole the American
man.
Fans, bro. He had everybody bopping and singing to that. Juicy. Juicy, it was all a dream, and he started it at the right time. You know, like, this goes out, you know, to all the people who thought I'd never amount to nothing. Because, dog, how many times I encounter this motherfucker out? I thought every American he was going to fight was going to beat him. He just keeps being there, bro. He just beat, yo.
Earning.
Bruh, he's, yo, he need to turn pro, honestly. Honestly.
Hey,
man,
Mitty a bad boy.
He
man.
Is.
I can't even stand.
He is,
I know,
man. Bruh, and you,
was,
let me tell you, let me tell you, shit, about to call you Rob. Let me tell you, Mike, you ain't seen his best performance till this Border Wars. Like, even he said it, like, he never trained this hard and he never put this much on his right hand for any other opponent. Like, he really respected Elias. And you can see that shit was so high level. It was nice, man.
Okay.
It was nice. It was nice. Really
super,
nice.
Super, super high level. That
he,
was a fight that
he
could
was
have been
different.
On the card Saturday.
He was different. He ain't that. I'm telling you, listen, he did a Tyson Fury. He did it. Maybe he was inspired. I don't know. But you know Mitty's. Yeah. Maybe. Because Mitty's a back foot. And
yes.
he did not do that. He stopped.
I came forward.
He stopped. Nigga, you want to bang? Let's bang. Bruh,
oh,
it was
shit,
crazy. It was crazy. And we got a fight. Did I, you know, I'm obviously.
No, man.
I just got to tell you. We got to fight.
I want to watch this shit now.
I hear you, but this is only leading you in. Look, we got to fight that. I'm exaggerating by saying that they threw 1,000 punches, but honestly, if you sit there and count.
Oh, God.
Honestly, if you sit there and count, I bet you they come close to it, which is crazy with 3 rounds. It's crazy.
2 minute rounds.
Huh?
2 minute rounds, right?
2 minute
rounds. Let's go. At one point, they were just button smashing. I mean, it was like playing fucking UFC and just X, 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 X. I mean, they were just, they wouldn't stop punching. I could not believe either of them could physically do that. It was one of the craziest things I've seen.
The other thing is, like, this is the first Border Wars where this many fighters took pride in their outfits. Like, this one had full-blown outfits, socks, you know, ring walks, like I said, music. It had everything. People had, like, I mean, there was a whole Kobe Bryant tribute. I'm telling you, and we didn't plan any of this. It just happened so organically. So, yeah, it was a lot. But the trailer is out. Let me see if I still got the link pasted here. Yep, I just posted it in the chat. You want to check out the trailer? Fight's coming soon. That's only one trailer. We have a lot. Just our videographer, you know, he's not a he doesn't like to fly, so he has to drive back. He's fear of flights or whatever. But fantastic guy. We've worked with him in the past. Original Texan, but lives in Nebraska now. So, yo, Coach Mitty, what up? What up? So, yeah, man, but fantastic. Cast Films Boxing. Man, I cannot wait to work with him again just off the trailer. You know, I'm excited and happy that we chose to hire him. And can't believe so far what we got from the trailer. Can't wait for the rest. We're going to go back
real
out
quick,
to.
Ness, real quick. Let me get to these 3 super chats that came in. Big Super Max Rodriguez says, no way it was 11,000. A lot of take off seats. KP from KC5 says, Mike, you tripping. Mikey, get Manny before Bud. Yeah, you're probably right about that. And Eric Cruz says, I'm looking to get Mitty some pro fights in the States. Stay tuned. Big up to you, Eric Cruz. Hey, I would love to see Mitty. And if Mitty fight in the States, bro, I'm going to it. Simple as that. If you get Mitty a fight in the States, I'll be at that moment.
So since we're on this Manny and Mikey topic, when Mannix.
Man, hold up. Y'all see Roman? Roman came back and knocked that boy. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Thank you for saying
Chocolatito,
that.
Chocolatito, baby, you back.
Chocolatito, bro.
I love it.
Whoa. Bruh, I didn't get to see
it. It was Kyle Alpha, man. Like, you know what I mean?
Man, he a champ.
Yeah. that was an opponent.
This was his first, like, step up, though. Like, who he faced before this?
Yeah, but he was being
built at. Oh, man, what you mean first step up? He a champion.
So name somebody he faced before this.
Bro, it's 115, man. These guys, I don't know all the guys that 115.
I mean, you can name people that Inoue faced.
Absolutely.
You can name people Rungs, VI, Faced, and Quadras, and Chocolatico. So I don't know why it's so difficult to name the Yaffa or Kaffa or whatever.
But it was the pedigree. This man was a decorated amateur, and it was the pedigree coming into it. It was the way that it was built. It was built almost like as if this was his step up. Like if he was coming in to face a gatekeeper type of fighter, and it was nothing like that. I'll tell you what, there's nobody in the world, well, not nobody, there was definitely a few people out there on Twitter that expected that from Chocolatito. And now, like, yo, I'm ready to see him fight. Bring on Gaio, bring on Inu. I don't give a shit who you bring on. Like, this man is back. Thank you, Mike, for bringing that up. Damn, you're the man.
Yeah, Mike likes those little guys.
Bro, it was a good little card. I can't even lie. It was the card was pretty solid, especially my guy Martinez, man. He was in
that was a great
I
fight.
I wouldn't say a war, but it was a good little fight. He was beating that boy up, but that guy was tough though.
It was a war tough. For sure. I thought it was definitely a war. I thought.
And yeah, Ness, Joe Park with the knockout, elite heavyweight.
He got the knockout. Versus Winters.
Yeah.
Did Winters show something?
And Winters is like he a cruiserweight.
No, he is a cruiserweight. He is a cruiserweight.
Good Lord, you're small.
But did he show anything? He didn't land nothing surprising, nothing good.
I mean, he showed that he can get knocked out. That's what he showed.
Hmm. All right. Well, phone lines, we got Mastermind.
BoxingWiz.com.
Por eso lo vuelvo a repetir, la era del Canelo la mejor porque peleó con los mejores. La suerte es para los mediocres, my friend.
Joseph, I don't know if you know, but it sounds like you're on speaker. Yeah, something's going on. Whatever you got going on, you're your super tooth. It ain't working. We'll be back to you. Going out the rail, Detroit Ringer, what up?
Good morning, TVV.
What up?
What up? Yeah, man, I just feel like Manny Pacquiao going to be too much for Vargas, man. I mean, not Vargas, but Mikey Garcia. I feel like Mikey should, I don't know, like y'all said, take a little tester fight before he get in there with Pacquiao. We seen what Pacquiao did to Keith Thurman, and I honestly got Keith Thurman winning in the Garcia fight. But how was that Don P, though, Ness?
It was good, man. Thank you. The celebratory bottle for the winners that we shared with Rel. You know, he brought a winner's only, Dom Perignon, to the Airbnb after party.
Yes, sir. But I'm a Mikey fan, so in that fight, I got it as a close fight. But the most I see Mikey doing against Pacquiao is possibly a draw. It's just that Pacquiao, though. And Vargas, man, he was throwing him. I ain't going to lie.
And why y'all acting like Mikey ain't got no timing, bro? That's one of Mikey's biggest strengths is his timing. That pecker got come
cut it, bang. Cut it.
Are you going to see Pacquiao come in? Do, 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 bang. Mikey Garcia caught Pacquiao. Oh, my God. Is he hurt? I'm telling y'all, man, it's going to be a tougher fight and a more competitive fight than what y'all think, if it happens.
All right. Let's see. Going out to New Orleans.
So interesting that you come across like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of shit.
Hey,
that
comment. Come on.
No, that was a piece of fuck you. That was a piece of shit.
You know, we're doing live TV.
Yeah, I don't care. What are you going
to
do about it?
I'm killing this mother. Why do you have to talk like that?
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you. You have a problem? Turn off your station. I'm the best ever.
Yeah, what's up, yo? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I'm sorry I missed the Border Wars, but my brother went, so I feel like I went. So, I mean, he told me it was exciting. I hope I can catch the next one, wherever y'all go set it up at. But as far as these fights, Michael Garcia needs to stay away from 47 because he looked very limited in that fight. I still don't think he won the fight. I gave it to Jesse Vargas, even though he got the knockdown. I just feel like Jesse Vargas won that fight. For as anything else, I mean, I didn't see the Chocolito fight. But besides that, I mean, that's all I got on it. I just think he needs to stay away from 47. He needs to fight at 140. That's probably a better weight class for him because he looked very limited at 47. That's all I got on it.
All right, JT, thanks for calling in. Looking like we got.
And yeah, one thing I got to say, man, Mikey going to have to, bro, we don't want to see the Errol Spence eye, too. I know you said you want the Errol Spence rematch, but we want to see it. All right, Mikey, I love you. You're a damn good fighter, but it's levels to this welterweight shit. And I just think Earl on another level.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see Earl back in there, too, man. See what's going on there. Civilian.
He was in the gym. He was in the gym.
Say what?
He was in the gym with Derrick James. I guess they invited Ellie down. Ellie chopped it up. And just doing a mid-work, you know what I'm saying? Just showing, like, the movement. And that, like, it wasn't, like, a full-fledged, like, workout, but it was just showing him, you know what I'm saying, that he still had his, I guess, boxing acumen, you know what I'm saying, with timing and picking shots and things like that.
Ness thought that the DAZN snubbed him on purpose because they only gave him, like, 3 seconds of FaceTime, and they gave, like, all their fighters, like,
yeah,
you know, like, full 20. It kind of was weird when I went back, but I don't know.
Not only that, they had, like, they went to Virgil Ortiz.
He was sitting right next to him.
with Earl in the frame instead of saying, you know, instead of putting them both, like, putting both their name, they just, I don't know, man. I don't know. But shout out to Earl and Jamal Charlo didn't show up. They had a seat for Charlo there.
Why he didn't show up?
I'm assuming he ain't show up. They ain't give him no camera time. But Eddie, on his story, he went through the list of names. Like, all the seats, wherever these fighters were seated, when they show them to you on camera, Eddie showed on his Instagram story that they were going to be there. He had reserved seating for them by name, and it said Earl Spence, Jamal Charlo, or Jamel Charlo.
They have Hooker and, like, Poirier, like, right beside each other.
Because they're going to fight. Because they're going to.
I know, but, like, bro, like, do we normally see that? Like, two fighters are going to fight?
Well,
because, right beside each other.
Again, it's production. They think in production. They don't care about your feelings and if those fighters are going to fight. They say, all right, we need to have these two next to each other because when the camera zooms in, that's who they fight. And rather than go one shot here, one shot there, look at them both right here. But, yeah, Civilian 11, what up?
Yeah, man. I just want to say, I think HBO back in the day used to sit opponents, rising opponents next to each other, but it's not a big deal. But, man, it was a great card this weekend. I mean, all three fights were just phenomenal. I actually had my money on Vargas because I just didn't think Mikey was going to pull it out, but he did. So, I mean, I'm not really sore that I lost money, but it was a good fight. I do say that, I mean, he should think about moving back down. I mean, because, I mean, he can, as wobbly as Vargas was, Vargas reminded me of Timothy Bradley. I was like, man, this dude is hurting. He's still throwing. I was scared for him, and Mikey still could not finish him. You know, a lot of people say, oh, Mikey watched Bronner. I mean, Bronner got some really good shots out in that fight, and he really didn't – in my opinion, he didn't watch Bronner. I think Bronner did a good job in that fight. And then Earl straight, you know, manhandled Mikey.
Cut it. Yes, sir. Let's keep these lines moving, looking like we got Stone Bone Box and talk to me.
What up? Yeah, man. It was a decent fight, man. It was a little boring. It started off Jesse looking good, then he gets dropped. And everybody keeps saying Pacquiao. He ain't a 147 pound. Ness,
when they did a catch weight of 150 with Margarito, what division was that fight at?
154.
I keep these dudes keep arguing with me, telling me that if you, it don't matter if it's one, if you want, if he weighing at 147.1, that's super welterweight. If you don't come in at the limit, then that's the next weight class. If it's one half of an ounce, 1 ounce, whatever it is. And Mikey is not a real 147. If you want to say Pacquiao ain't one, Pacquiao is small. They probably about the same size. And Pacquiao has beat guys at 54. Mikey has lost to guys at 147, and he looked, I don't want to say average, he looked basic against a Jesse Vargas, who was pretty basic.
You said many.
He lost four rounds in a row, Mike. He lost 1 through 4, and then he won when he knocked him down in round 5. That was, man, he didn't have no.
Cut it. Real quick, hit me out. Who Manny Pacquiao beat at 154?
Margarito.
And what did Margarito start at?
Welterweight.
What the weight? 147.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good question. It might have been lower, but I don't remember.
Nah. Margarito.
No, 147. Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, I could Google it. I could Google it just in case he was Mexican. Maybe he started very early out there, but you know, Margarito wasn't popping until he was a welterweight.
And that's the guy with the hand wraps.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
That's the guy with the hand wraps.
And how old was he when Manny fought him?
He was not out of his prime. Manny destroyed. Listen, Manny destroyed a prime Margarito. He's the one. Margarito don't fight no more because of Manny, and that's why Floyd. Look, bruh, you know what? Look, he dropped Thurman. He dropped Algeria. You can't even question Manny. Has some of the power slightly faded? Maybe. Maybe, but not really. When you still dropping a prime Thurman, not prime Thurman because he had the injury, but a young Thurman, you still dropping a young Thurman. You still getting knockouts in every fight. I mean, knockdowns in every fight. You know, but yeah, man, yo, he fucked up Antonio Margarito. Antonio's he broke his orbital bone like no one else in boxing. I'm telling you, I haven't followed another person whose orbital bone broke and face becomes disfigured like that, bruh. Think about those first surgeries. You could Google images of Margarito. My man was looking like a fucking pirate. His eyes didn't even line up. Google it.
Right. Damn, you're absolutely right. That was a fight that should have been stopped. We all knew it. But I think that it goes to show you, though, that, look, we've seen Pacquiao in situations where he's been able to take guys out like that in those fights when he's at the lower weight level. I don't know if it's that his power is or he's lost it.
Bruh, Margarito's only 41.
In that upper weight class. Of course. You're absolutely right.
No, I'm just giving it for facts. I'm just giving it for facts because Mike didn't really watch his career.
At 135.
Okay. And so, like, at the end of the day, I think that you look at Margarito and you look at that fight, and that shows that Pacquiao's got a kind of power that translates to 147. So even though the last caller was absolutely right, Manny's not really a 147 guy. He hits like one.
Shane Mosley beat Margarito before Manny?
Yes. Let me see.
Yeah,
yes.
That was the hand wrap fight.
Yeah, but
he beat him with the hand wraps?
No, Mosley.
No,
Mosley's
the one where they caught him.
Yeah, Mosley's training.
Oh, okay. Caught it there. Okay.
Mosley's training.
Oh, and Shane beat the paws off because he was trying to cheat.
It was Brother Nassim that caught him.
Yep. But again, it doesn't matter what anybody wants to say. Margarito, after the Mosley fight, was not done. He was not done. You know, was that the beginning of the end? Maybe. But he was not done. Pacquiao did him dirty. Pacquiao did him dirty.
Listen, if he was done, it was only because the jig was up and he wasn't fighting with raps anymore.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because he was physically, you know, dominant.
Well, to be honest, because after that, Miguel tried to get his revenge over Margarito right after the Pacquiao loss. He didn't even give him a tune-up. And Margarito was coming on. They stopped that fight because of Pacquiao's fucked up They stopped the fight.
First of all,
let's not forget, he couldn't even get a license in one place. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden they got him a license. Then all of a sudden they brought this fight back to New York. And again, Miguel targeted the eye. It wasn't like, oh, I'm beating you and I'm getting my revenge. He know that was phony revenge. To me, it was phony revenge. The way that Margarito beat up Cotto, man, he beat nobody beat Cotto like that. Nobody. Canelo, people thought Canelo had a tight fight with Cotto. And years before, Margarito beat the life out of him, beat him into submission,
bruh,
took knees and everything.
Bruh. Nobody's beaten a man the way that Cotto got beat without a weapon in
That's
hand. I'll put it
right,
that
bro.
Way. That was, I've never seen that in a boxing ring. I mean,
damn buddy in that fight, bro. Because I actually went back and watched it because people were talking about the hand. I'm like, let me see what this, bro. Like every punch he was landing was fucking
devastating.
A bludgeoning punch. Like, he was
devastating.
I was like Louis Resto shit.
Like, what the hell?
It was crazy, bro. It was crazy. Listen, but you got, look, that's why I don't know who we interviewed. But there was like, I think there was the question from a Patreon was like, yo, what's the best advice to give a young fighter? He said, get you a good team. Get you a good team, man. Because look, because of not seeing Richardson, Mosley's career in life had longevity. Not only did he beat Margarito, but he translated that into, I think, a Pacquiao or Mayweather fight. So,
he might have saved his life that night.
No, absolutely.
Might have saved his, right?
Absolutely, because, again, Margarito did some damage to Cotto. He did some damage to Cotto. But let me tell you I feel like I'm the only dude that ever says this. The only dude to beat a prime Margarito with hand wraps is Paul Williams. And that's why Floyd ducked
Paul
his ass.
Paul Williams, baby. That was a fight. Oh,
that's why
I love
Floyd
that.
Ducked his ass. Margarito was on the heels of Floyd. Bob Arum offered Floyd that fight. He ain't won. He chose a fight like Baldemir or some shit. Paul Williams' tall ass got in there. Hand wraps, no hand wraps. In Margarito's hometown, I believe that shit was like in L.A. at the Forum or Staples Center.
It was
in
California.
I know
sure.
It was an open arena, and he got that ass. Now, I ain't going to say he beat him up. It was a good fight, but Paul won, and Paul never got his Floyd fight. But Al did get Paul in his prime. No, he got that. That's nothing, though. Sergio was self-built. He wasn't a superstar. He got him Canelo, though. And then Paul had the accident. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Paul fought Canelo, but he had the accident. Okay.
Yeah, no,
damn.
it was on pay. It was done. We had posters,
damn,
I think,
okay.
Maybe. But we definitely had the fight. It was done, and he had the fucking accident.
It was
147.
Either
47 or 54. Let me just say that, because I know Canelo didn't stay at 47 too long, and he ain't.
No, it was gonna be at it was gonna be above 147. But I think it might have been a catchweight
problem.
I remember. Listen, I covered his last fight in Corpus, right? And after it was over, it was a goose in promotion. You know, that's all they were talking about was Canelo. So it was like the writing was on the wall. And
that's
man,
what I'm saying. You know,
terrible.
People talk shit about Canelo, but he was always – and then after that fight, right? I think it was the year he fought Kirkland, because I think Paul Williams had the accident and Kirkland slipped in. How was –
who was
the sub for that?
It was Trout.
He killed Kirkland.
Yeah, no, he destroyed Kirkland. There's a video floating around of someone's edit. What they did was they took out Kirkland. I mean, they took out Canelo of the video and just got Kirkland taking the shots to nobody like he's fighting an
I remember that.
Like he's fighting an invisible man,
dirty, bro.
It's crazy, man. I mean, look, boxing and the internet are, whew.
That may be the first time I probably, like, actually, like, was
feeling bad for someone?
Not even feeling bad. Was, like, actually watching a Canelo fight live. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably my first time, like, okay, I'm... Go check this shit out. I ain't shit else on, but bro, the way he cut the dude with that fucking house, I said shit.
Nah,
man,
yo,
oh,
and
man.
Let me tell you, Kirkland is on a comeback. He about to be on a PBC card. And Kirkland, you know, he was always good. He was always there to give you a good fight. What happened was people questioned, can he be as good as he was under the tutelage of Ann Wolf? After leaving Ann Wolf and her very unorthodox methods of training, he never looked the same. But
he got into some really bad stuff. That's
yeah,
why.
No, I mean, she kept him in line. You know, Kirkland was in and out of jail. You know, Kirkland was he was destined to be a star. When you got Oscar De La Hoya going to the courtroom for you, my nigga, you got Oscar and Richard Schaefer in court, you know, giving a statement for you so that the judge could be lenient on you. Kirkland had it all, man, and I'm very happy to see him get a comeback because, you know, being on those heights, having a Canelo fight, you know, the world knowing your name and then not really amounting what you thought your potential was could drive a man crazy in his house. You know what I mean? So I'm very happy he's able to get another go at it. He looks like he got a good team now with Davis Entertainment. I've been trying to get him on the show. He's not the greatest interview, but he's a good interview and he's a good guy. And I'm happy to see him get, you know, another third, fourth chance because, you know, this world is about opportunity, this especially America. And chances shouldn't be limited to just one, you know, per person, you know. And I'm happy to see him get another one. But I'm going to keep these lines moving. Looking
I
like,
do want to give a real quick shout out to Split Team Management, man. Every time I get on somebody's page, one of these boxes, one of these new boxes that I'm just looking at, I'm just seeing Split Team Management. Like, they are amassing a nice little stable, so big ups to them.
Who's the newest one you've seen?
It was some girl boxer from overseas, man. Like, she was at the Wilder Fury fight, and I was just going through trap photos, you know what I'm saying, looking at things like that, and I was like, okay, who is she? You know what I'm saying? What does she do? What's her record? What division? And bam, Split Team Management. Then I seen a guy. Who was the guy who was with Split Team that we just interviewed, Ness?
Rolando Vargas Jr. Rolando Nano Vargas Jr.
Yeah, man. Just like they are coming on strong. Like you said, you got David McWaters. He might be the new Al Heyman.
No, he definitely.